Our scripture reading is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, the final chapter, chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Back in the 2nd century AD, a very elderly pastor, up in his 80s, a man by the name of Polycarp, traveled to Rome. And while he was in Rome, he spoke openly and publicly about his faith. Because of this, the Roman authorities became aware of him as a preacher. And as he traveled back to his homeland, not long after that, the Roman government sent soldiers after him to take him and arrest him, and ultimately with the goal of bringing him to trial and putting him to death by fire. When the soldiers showed up at his door, the story is told that Polycarp, who at the time was in his mid to upper 80s, invited them into his house, asked them if they were hungry, and when he found out that they were from their journey, he had them sit down and asked his servants to come and give a meal for them, and he asked if he could at least just have 1 hour to go and pray before they would take him off to his execution, which they permitted him as they sat and feasted on his food. The soldiers apparently came back from that arrest so overly impressed with this man's love and hospitality to even feed the soldiers that were coming to take him to be executed. The story is, the legend is said at least, that some of those soldiers later converted to the Christian faith just because of his kindness and hospitality. And the story itself was spread throughout the Roman Empire. Oftentimes, the early Christians, even in times of persecution, were identified and known for their great love and kindness and charity, not only toward one another, but also to other people who were not so kind to them. And this shouldn't surprise us. This was one of the great marks that Jesus left by which his church could be identified. By this love that is shown, people would know that we are his followers. And it's interesting that even in our culture today, those who are devout followers of Christ are still often identified this way in our communities. Sometimes we're even made fun of it a little bit as well. Pastors will tell you that they frequently get people that will call or stop in at the office wanting a handout and wanting some food or some assistance. Now, why do they go there instead of Home Depot? Why do they go there instead of Sam's Club? Well, they know that this is a Christian virtue by which the church is identified. St. Paul, who is writing to the Galatians here in this last chapter to them, St. Paul himself had experienced the same kind of love and support and generosity from this very congregation. It's interesting to think of St. Paul, prior to this being Saul, who persecuted the church and put Christians to death and imprisoned them, suddenly the word got out that he had been converted miraculously by God to the Christian faith, the very faith that he persecuted, and now he was going to go out to some of these congregations and preach to them the very faith that he used to imprison them and beat them up over. And yet we're told, Paul writes to them in this same letter, "You welcomed me as if I were an angel from God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself." That's really interesting, isn't it? That they welcomed him as if he was the Lord himself. And so he writes to this congregation, "Let us do good as we have opportunity. Let us do good to all." But then he notes and adds and underlines, "especially to those who are of the household of faith." There's a special relationship that believers in Christ have to each other in this world as members of the Holy Christian Church. In the Old Testament, you maybe remember the story of how the baby Moses was put in that basket coated with tar and set off into the reeds to protect him because there had been a decree by the Pharaoh to execute all of the Israelite little baby boys and so on. And his mother wanted to protect him, and he was taken and brought right into the palace and was allowed to grow up as if he was an Egyptian, even though he was a full-blooded Israelite. The book of Hebrews records this. It's very interesting. It says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. And isn't that something, that Moses himself set aside earthly wealth and prosperity and freedom to go live with the enslaved Israelites, gave that up because he more closely wanted to identify with God's church in the world. And this is a distinguishing quality by which we ourselves can even see the activity of the Holy Spirit alive in us. St. John says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren, because we love to be with fellow Christians and worship with them and be around them and have their input and have friendships with them. Because of that, that's an indication even of the very faith that is alive in Christ's church. And this concept of togetherness, of community in the church, you can see it even in the images that the Holy Spirit uses in Scripture, the visual images he uses to describe the church. A flock of sheep. A body with various members all fit together in one. A building like this with stones all built together upon the foundation of Christ and the apostles and so on. And that each one of us is like a stone. One of the church fathers used to say that, yes, we're all like the blocks in a building of the church, and we're held together by the mortar of love. That's the thing that unites us. The divine love that comes down from God through the work of Christ and distributed to us in the means of grace. That same love that goes out into the church to unite us together in this bond. So Paul is stirring up this love among the believers. He says, let us not grow weary in this. It's important for us to hear these admonitions as well. Because of our sinful human natures, because of the fact that we can irritate each other, even fellow Christians, our personalities sometimes don't always click in every way. And there are little irritating things that can take place. Because of the struggles of this life, it's easy for us sometimes to lose our focus and to forget the unity that we have together in Christ and the fact that we're headed for a common home. And it's easy for us to let our sinful nature rise up and forget about this common unity that we have in our Savior. 377 years ago yesterday, 102 people got on a cargo ship in Southampton, England, and set off on a journey that would take between 2 and 3 months with hopes of reaching the United States. The ship was known as the Mayflower. And those pilgrims were on their way to a new land. They ran into a lot of bad storms on the way, but they knew they all had the same goal in mind and the same purpose in mind. And I'm sure there were times when they got irritated with each other and there were great difficulties. Imagine trying to having a woman give birth on a ship like that, very crowded. And yet, there are many stories among those early pilgrims about how they stuck together and banded together. And you can imagine the kind of joy that they had when they finally reached the shores of what is now the United States. You and I, by God's grace, through the work of faith in our hearts, have been put into the ship of Christ's Holy Christian Church. And we are on a common journey together. We have common enemies that we have to face. We have common challenges. We have common difficulties that face us, and yet at the same time we have a common mission and purpose on this trip and journey. We have a common understanding of our inability to get ourselves to the shores of heaven. We have a common love and faith and appreciation in the work of God's Son for us to pay for all of our sins, to give us the hope of reaching the shores of heaven. And we have a common appreciation for his blessed means of grace that bring us into that faith and keep us into that faith, secure in the ship of God's church. But we also are united with a common goal. And how wonderful it will be. Just think of the appreciation we will have for the ship and for those who helped us on the journey to reach the shores when we finally get to heaven, where we can see perfect, divine, heavenly love and hospitality. Amen.